You know, last week, that's the whole reason why the episode ain't go through, because they were like, hey, I don't want y'all being nasty out here and not telling people you're recording. Look, bro, look, I don't get it. I was very upset. But,
wait, what?
So, half the episode yesterday, I mean, from last week, we could only get 25 minutes out of it because Skype torched like the last hour because I didn't press something that says they know they're being recorded, even though we've been doing this for years.
Well,
stupid.
Very stupid. I'm upset about it. So let's hope this does not happen this time. And with that being said, okay, that's your camera. Welcome to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr. And in front of me are my two friends, Calvin McGowan and Philip Dixon. Guys, go ahead, let the people hear your voice.
What's up, everybody? Once again, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's always a pleasure. And we're sorry about not having an episode last week.
We are sorry. My name is Philip Dixon, aka the Bookmark King. And we are, I read a lot of books. And yes, we are unfortunately and regrettably sorry about, you know, last week's episode. But this week's episode should be a makeup episode because it will be fire. Because we have fire takes.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that is your best AKA in months. I am glad to see that you are back on the right trajectory because the last few have been awful. Like, you even had a suggestion from me last week. That's how you know we get to the bottom of the barrel.
I thought I wasn't at the bottom of the barrel 3 years ago.
Oh, you making your way out of it? Okay, okay.
Shoot, I've been scraping. Okay, so what are you going to start with today?
Guys, we got a jam-packed episode today. First, we're going to talk about what, Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games. And then we're going to get into, wow, I'm completely blanking, but the documentary-style story on HBO Max about the Lakers and Magic Johnson. And then, I'm sorry, Miami Heat fans, I got a rag in y'all stadium. I don't know why y'all still living that thing. It looked like the Palace in the 1980s. But that will be the last part of the podcast. Calvin, go ahead, tell us what we've been missing on the college basketball scene.
So, I've unfortunately also missed various things. But also, quick catch-up, just because, like, again, the episode last week ain't come out. But, so, you know, St. Peter's folded Kentucky at the very start of the tournament. They made it to the Elite Eight, the first 15 seed in, you know, the history of the tournament to make it that far. And then they got folded by North Carolina. Like, it was just a very kind of, on North Carolina's part, it was a very dominant defensive performance, making sure right to close out, a lot of shot blocking, just kind of physically kind of imposing the will.
Do you know, real quick, my biggest takeaways from that slaughter that North Carolina put down on that 15 seed? My what? Two biggest takes were, I think having a twin backcourt is fire. For some reason, just like having twins wearing the same shoes look alike, it's just like that's tight. Like, I've seen it more as twins. I've seen it in high school from other schools, whatever. I've seen it a lot, or not a lot, a decent amount in basketball. Mm-hmm. For some reason, aesthetically on the court, cool. Secondly, Love goes off. He's streaky, but when his love for North Carolina, when he's on. And he was hitting some shots last game that were so deep. I was like, you can't guard that. Like, that's the shot you want him to take. But he was shooting it, and it was nothing but net. And, like, when a shot is it's nothing but net, and he hears that, there's, like, that crisp. Like, I heard that through the TV. I was like, man, that rotation must be crazy. Like, this is wild, right? And this is in the first half when there was somewhat of a chance of St. Peter's, but, you know, we all know that that's not how it was. And they, I mean, from what I saw, St. Peter's just, they always got all the other teams off their rhythm. North Carolina said, sure, we just won't shoot that many jump shots. We'll shoot jump shots, and we'll hit the jump shots we want, but we're getting those jump shots because we're shoving it down your throat at the rim. Because they could not out-rebound North Carolina. Point blank, period. So I kind of like, cool, St. Peter's, you made it. I appreciate mid-major Division I's being able to have some kind of shine. But North Carolina, at the end of the day, was North Carolina. And I appreciate a good stomping out, too, of like, do you know who we are? I also appreciate a good one of those, too, so.
Let's see what else. I think I caught at least some of both of the Duke games, right? Duke played Texas Tech. They also played Arkansas. The Arkansas game seemed a little, I'm trying to remember. I think it seemed a little more one-sided. They're both, you know, very defensive teams. Arkansas, I want to think, couldn't buy a three. Hold up. Right, Duke, you know, Coach K, is out here trying to get, like it's talked about, out here trying to get one last chip. And of course, right, they're going to have to go through North Carolina to get it because, I don't know, I guess we're just in like some sports movie now. Shit.
The basketball guys do us all a favor, yo.
Well, listen, Duke stomped a motor hole. It felt like the entire game. To Arkansas. Like, it felt like the entire game, sure, it was close at some points, but it didn't feel like Arkansas had anything going on. Duke was doing, they were doing their thing, right? But, you know, right. We'll get to this later. At this moment, I don't know who's going to win.
So, like, in the Arkansas game, there was only one Duke starter that was not in double figures.
Who was it?
It was, let me make sure I get this, Jeremy Roach.
It sounds about right.
He had nine. Right. More like Wendell Moore Jr., 14. AJ Griffin, 18. Banchero, 16. Williams, 12. Like, it was like Duke pretty much controlled the game. And I'm not going to lie, North Carolina at this point, I'm pretty sure, has defied basically everybody's expectations. Shouts to them. I didn't think they'd make it to the Final Four. Not going to lie, I didn't think they'd make it out the first weekend. But they did, and good on them. It'll be a fun game. If we're lucky, maybe we get people wanting to fight.
Okay, look. All right. So what do y'all think about Kansas? I know you say you don't think you don't think they're ready. But
like I had them in my Final Four, so like this doesn't wildly surprise me. Granted, they ended up having to go through Miami as opposed to like
Arizona.
LSU or Auburn or like a team I expected more, though I probably just didn't think as highly of Miami as I probably should have, just being real about it. But right, they put away Providence, which I expected. I kind of assumed it would have been a blowout, though.
Game was a little too close for my liking.
Here's my thought going into that game, right? Like, I assumed that if it was a close game, Kansas loses. Because it's what close games, what Providence does. And in this particular instance, Providence wasn't able to pull it off, right?
Yeah, they weren't.
And it makes some sense because Kansas has generally been regarded as the better team, regardless of whether you think Providence has been lucky to this point or not, and I don't really, at least not to the degree that other people would think, that, like, Kansas is the better team, and the better team won.
Yeah,
right?
They did.
And then Kansas blew out Miami. Unfortunately, I didn't really watch either of those games, but I'm not wildly surprised. Okay, talk about them.
Oh, let's talk about these dubs. All right. We're in the Providence. Providence is a little too close for me, a little too close for my liking. But you know, we ended up getting out of it. We ended up winning. It was a pretty, it was a good game in terms of just like the investment you had in it the entire time. Honestly, I watched it out. I was surrounded by a lot of people, and for a little bit of the game, we were like shook, like, oh man, what's gonna happen? What's happening here, right? Mm-hmm. And then it closed it out, whatever. I want to talk about this Miami game.
Okay.
So the Miami game happened, and KU did not play well the first half. I don't know what Bill Self said to them in halftime. Came out, and actually, I'll tell you what it is. Miami was playing really good one-on-one basketball. Right? One-on-one basketball. They have players who have good, really good one-on-one players. So they were just cooking them one-on-one. Boom, boom, boom. You know, moves, jump shot, in. And KU was just taking hard shots. Hard, bad jump shots. Halftime, Bill Self, rah, rah, rah. Comes back out. They feed it into the big man for KU. The first 5 minutes, maybe. The first 5 minutes. It might be a little less than that. And he was making shots I ain't seen him make all year. I'm not going front, right? Mm-hmm. He made shots I ain't seen him make them all year. And all of a sudden, the momentum just swung, and it swung in a crazy big way, and Miami couldn't do nothing about it. The only reason KU beat Providence is because of Remy Martin, right? Mm-hmm. He is the reason they won. This second game, I would say the reason – I would say it's more of a team effort, right? A team effort understanding that they are bigger than Miami. Mm-hmm. So let's force it inside the second half. And it really felt like – I know – I can't remember the score of halftime, but it was close.
That score at halftime was 35-29 Miami.
35-29. And then very quickly, that was a wrap. And that second half of basketball was the best I had seen KU play all year, right? Because it wasn't just like you're hitting and making buckets. You are making the right plays to get the best shots in terms of IQ level, right? Once again, Miami, they had one big, tall, lanky white dude who wanted to shoot threes the entire time, right? That's his game. He was a senior, whatever, right? But outside of him, they weren't big. He wasn't even big. He was just tall, right? If you know basketball, you know the difference. And they went inside and cooked. Layup, layup. And what happens when you go inside? All of a sudden, what opens up? The outside, right? Mm-hmm. So what North Carolina did in the first half is what KU did in the second half, strategy-wise.
Right.
Perfect. Elite Four. We're going to the Final Four, excuse me. Here we at. And at this moment, Final Four, I don't know who's going to win because it's mad even. Like, in terms of just, except KU's going to the championship because Villanova only plays six players. Their second best player towards Achilles. And that's rough. And if you only play six players and that second best player, to most people's estimation, he's second best player on your team towards Achilles. I'm going to go with KU. I have to go with KU, right? Mm-hmm. So that's also going to be a thing. KU has more bodies, is more healthy right now. KU is going to the championship. This North Carolina Duke thing, North Carolina won last time, but Duke has like the most pressure I've ever seen of any Duke team because of Coach K's like last game. So can that get them to, you know, go to the next level? But also, what I saw from North Carolina's last game was ridiculous, right? They made a 15 seed look like a 15 seed who didn't look like a 15 seed the entire time. But they did that because of a mentality, right, an IQ, an understanding of what they need to do in the game, and they executed it. Can they execute? Can they make the same executions they did the last time they beat Duke in this upcoming game? I don't know. I can't call that one. I hope North Carolina wins, though, because that means Coach K is gone. Good riddance. And then you have two Roy Williams teams up top. So I'll be happy about that.
Hey, on random question before, because I'm gonna touch on the women's side right quick. But before I do, random thought. Okay, hypothetically, Coach K like wins this last like NCAA title. Mm-hmm. How long before the 30 for 30 comes out?
Next week.
Exactly. Like, 30 Coach for 30 K coming wins, out the minute he walk off.
If Coach K wins this title, he will have a movie deal, a documentary deal, a TV deal. He'll have anything he wants. He'll
or book deals.
He'll make a Disney podcast movie. Like, you ever seen Remember Titans?
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a Duke version of that. Right? Just an inspirational, Rudy, any inspirational sports movie you can think, this is it.
Okay.
I don't know what his deal going to be, but it's going to be a big check for him and his great-grandkids.
All right. So, now to switch sides right quick, touch on the women, who I watched a little bit more of, right? South Carolina is in their umpteenth Final Four under Don Staley, which would surprise basically nobody at this point. Right? They managed to get by North Carolina. They stomped on Creighton. Yeah. Kind of felt bad for him after a second. It was just a very one-sided game. Right? Stanford got past Maryland. They managed to get past Texas, who played very, very tough defense, you know, made it.
Great game last night.
Oh, yeah, it was great. But, like, Texas's bigs in particular got into foul trouble early. Like, I think there was one girl who had, like, three before the – I want to think before the first quarter was over. Like, it was like that. It was a fairly physical game. Right. And like it was solidly officiated, but like Texas had two big problems, right? That I think ultimately kept them from winning. One, they weren't hitting threes. At least most of the game. And two, they weren't hitting free throws. Like, let me put it, like, the final score is 59-50, right? 59-50, Stanford. Texas went 11 for 20 from the free throw line. Like, they hit their free throws. It's a different game, right? And, but like on, you know, Stanford didn't actually, I'm looking at the numbers, didn't actually take that many threes, didn't really hit any. Lexi Hall had a really good game. She put up 20, going 7 of 14, 2 of 4 from deep. Haley Jones had a double double, 18 and 12, right, with 4 assists and 2 blocks.
Masterful.
At one point,
It was masterful.
Yes. And at one point, Brink was blocking everything. Like, just sent it back. Or it was just like, she was just already there. It's just like,
damn.
Just erasing shots.
I'm really surprised there's not more, like, first round pick buzz for Cameron Brink. Like, I don't know. I think she might have, like, another year of eligibility left. But, like, 6'4", you can shoot, you can protect the rim a bit too, and you rebound. Like,
so I don't.
That's the complete package.
Yeah. But you know, we'll see, right? There's still more tournament, and I don't know. You just kind of have to go looking for WNBA stuff more. Right on the other side, North Carolina State was able to get Notre Dame, right? A Notre Dame team that managed to beat UMass and then stomp on Oklahoma in a wildly lopsided game that, like, it makes you question why Oklahoma was a 4 seed if you're going to get whooped like this by the five. You would expect a much closer game. Regardless, right, North Carolina State managed to squeak by Notre Dame and are currently playing UConn for a trip to the Final Four. And, like, I'm looking at this like I kind of want to see this game. So that's what I'll be doing the minute we get done with this. Right, we have Louisville's going to be playing Michigan later on today, right? Louisville managed to get past Tennessee. Michigan managed, like, got past South Dakota, right? They've actually been, looking at these numbers, surprisingly dominant to this point. Like, none of these games have been particular. Well, correction, South Dakota was close. But, like, actually, I don't really have comments. I didn't watch the game like that, unfortunately. It's set, like, it's setting up to be just a really, like, it'll be a fun Final Four. I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm kind of hoping it's not all chalk. So, here's to hoping, like, Michigan gets a win, or, like, UConn does, even though, like, UConn is low-key chalk, too. Because, like, they're a two seed, and, like, it's UConn. Okay. Is this the part where...
Guys, it is time to talk about Magic Johnson and his semi-unlikable behavior. I think it's, like, the best show on HBO Max right now. Even though Love Life is fire.
Okay, so this kind of leans into a little bit of my background, too, because I am a historian by trade. And this is history, right? And, you know, when there's a show like this, you have to separate what's fact and what's fiction. What's fact and what's, like, put on there for entertainment value. Right now, the show we're talking about is Showtime Lakers, right? The new HBO show that I think I saw the first commercial on Christmas on one of the NBA games. But the show is a show that essentially showcases and talks about, excuse me, the first year of Magic Johnson's rookie year for Lakers. Man, Magic Johnson's rookie year for Lakers. That's what it talks about. And it is phenomenal. Phenomenal for many reasons. Okay, so let's go with the entertainment factor, all right? The storyline, yes, it was written, but the things they bolstered up to make it more entertaining and the things they showcased are very, very entertaining, right? The basketball is done very well, period. They so far, we've only seen them practice, but they're like the shots and, you know, the angles. Everybody saw that one little clip from Bel Air when the dude windmilled. He windmilled at all. Have you seen that one?
Uh-oh.
Look it up. It's a clip of the windmill that Will did from Bel Air, and it looks crazy because the ball starts off in one spot, and then, like, the ball is going up here, and then they do a cut, and all of a sudden he's going back the other way in the air. It's like, that's not how basketball works. That's not how gravity works. That's not how momentum works. Whatever. It looks bad. But then, this show has none of that. Like, this show has none of that. They were doing a mad alley-oops this past episode, and it looked really, really good, right? But not that. So those are two entertaining factors. The two things they bolstered up, you know, entertainment. What people have to realize in terms of the facts is this. This is TV. So let's take Norm Nixon, for example, right? There's one scene where him and Magic Johnson are at a all-white party at Donald Sterling's house, right? And it was just very ironic, but whatever. They're at an all-white party at Donald Sterling's house, and Norm and Magic, before Magic actually, like, makes a team or is actually drafted, they do, like, a little say it again?
That is hilarious. An all-white party at Donald Sterling's house.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
That's great.
It's crazy. But they do, like, a little, like, one-on-one, like, you ain't gonna take my spot, young fella. Oh, I'm about to take your spot, OG, even though he was in the year for 2 years before he got there or whatever it is, right? That was, like, the whole thing. That never happened. That just never happened, right? The guy playing Norm is his actual son. That is like, first of all, great casting. He looks just like him too. Same crazy hairline and everything, right? Looks just like that 1970s hairline. That's crazy. The 80s hairline. But that scene never happened. They make certain people in the show look crazy. And I'm not sure how real that is. Now, one, I know what's not real is apparently Jerry West, right? In the show, Jerry West is throwing things and frustrated and yelling and being this like really big, energetic person. Apparently in real life, that's just not him. We all see him for like, you know, the in front of the cameras, Jerry West. So I was like, maybe they know a little something. We don't know. No, apparently this is not his personality at all, right? And apparently some people in Jerry West's camp have issues with the fact that he's being portrayed like this. But you usually would think that a person who is so meticulous and so, you know, keeps everything bottled inside because they have an image to uphold, because they're the logo, whatever, right? A person of big status, that on their free time or when they're home, they just let it out in some kind of way, right? So, like, I think that's what they did with the show. But you have to realize that's like an assumption. That's not actually, you have no idea this is true about his personality, right? So there's that. Kareem, first of all, the guy who plays Kareem looks just like Kareem. It's kind of crazy. But Kareem is a diva. But like, an Afrocentric diva, which is interesting, because he has a little fro, little balls, so we're going a little ball up here. He wears dashikis all the time. He was reading one book, he turned the page and the title of it was just nigger, right? Like, but like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, if you know about him, he didn't change his name from Lew Alcindor to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar without being like that, okay? That's not the diva aspect I'm talking about. The diva aspects is the, you know, this person with Magic Johnson was his rookie, and he would bring, Magic Johnson would bring him some orange juice every single morning. And he would open it, look at it, from his, he would open his door, look at him, look at his juice, look at him, just close it right in his face. Every single day in practice, no, coach, I'm done. Kick his feet up while everybody else running. Everybody, I mean, literally everyone else. He's, no, I'm good. Right? They over here, running with the coach. He just stops running. He just turns back around, just walks back to the hotel where they're staying at. Like, they make him look so wild, right? The first meeting for them as a team. Don't sit in the front row because Captain gets that spot to himself. Like, he gets a whole row to himself. They make him look wild. But also, for me, the wildest thing they did was having all this Afrocentric stuff with a white woman. So they really had, no, I mean, like, the bongos, the everything. Like, they really dove deep into that thing, that persona, that like thought process, that like, you know, who is that man as a person? And then they were like, oh, white woman right there. Like, it was purposely done, right? It had it purposely done. Now, I do know that he has a white wife, though. I believe he has a white wife, like, currently. But the way that it was showcased in the show made him look crazy. Just saying.
I don't think he had one at the time, though, in fairness to the man.
Okay.
The white wife came later.
Okay.
But does that not mean he wasn't having white girls, though? You don't just you just don't pop up.
Well, look, I was like, if he was, he apparently came at Chamberlain for like messing with too many white women. So it would be very
why you said too many. Just the right amount.
Let's say that is true. Let's say it is true, right? That he didn't have a white wife at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The show portrayed him as a wild man to do that. Like, but it's never said out loud. You look into his house and they pinpoint certain like Afrocentric black artifacts and mm-hmm. things of his house, and then goes, white woman. Like the way they shot it, that was they were setting the table for that. And I was like, oh, adios, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that. Magic Johnson himself. Okay, let me wait on that. Dr. Buss. Apparently, Dr. Buss was like this in real life. When I say like this, I mean a playboy, right? Mm-hmm. A playboy who didn't get along with his wife, and he always had, you know, women on his hip, and he was best friends. He was really good friends, at least, at minimum, with Hugh Hefner and all this stuff, right? That was like what he was known for, right? The Playboy Club, whatever it was called, in the Forum, that was a real place mm-hmm. where you hear and you read wild things happening in that place because they were in financial ruins, essentially. It had to make the Forum an attraction. Okay, we get that. But this man is... he himself is the embodiment of entertainment for the show. Yes, other aspects are entertaining, but he is the accumulation of all entertainment for the show. Magic Johnson looks, they make him look bad. Not as a basketball player, not as the guy who's always smiling, but they make him look like a bad guy. To the point where in the dialogue of the show, he keeps saying, hey, you made me look like a bad guy. You made me seem like a bad guy. If I was Magic Johnson and I watched this, I would sue somebody for defamation of like image. Dead serious. Because they make him look crazy towards like women, towards men, dudes he grew up with.
Dog, towards, were he like, doing the cookie?
Yes. Like, like he treating her like doo-doo. And he over here trying to, he's stealing her. He's trying to steal girls from dudes back home. And he Hollywood now. Like, they make him look bad as, like, a person. And we only know Meg Johnson as, like, the smiling, good guy who tweets, like, the obvious. We only know him as that, right? Basketball player, just like, oh, he has a smile that's infectious for the room. That's, everybody here was born in the 90s. That's all we know of him. This show makes you go, I can see how Magic Johnson's like would come off to people in a bad way. But I don't know if that's bolstered or not, because I can see that that might be the case. You never know, right? But the show itself is wildly entertaining. If you're a basketball fan, you have to watch.
Look, I say if you're a psychology fan, that is also a good show to watch, just to see how, like, what they've made of their personalities is, like Magic Johnson being the person who smiles and can, like, work a room, but also being, like, the person who needs to control everything makes a lot of sense.
Literally, the person who can control the room but needs to control the room. That's what he is. And, you know, seeing a portrayal of that from essentially college to like his NBA, it's kind of nutty to see. But the show overall is fantastic. Like, I was thinking about this yesterday when I was watching it. This might be one of my favorite, like, HBO is just really good at making TV, right? The Wire, Game of Thrones up until the last season, The Sopranos, right? They're just good. They just know what good TV is. And this fall, by the end, this is going to fall in line with all those other shows, in my mind. But once again, if you're a basketball fan, you should watch it. If you're not a basketball fan, you will find something entertaining about it, because it's less about basketball and more about personalities.
Yeah, this is some really good stuff. Now we got to translate to some not so really good stuff. So, guys, I went to Miami this past week, and, you know, I'm in a new place. I got to go to their stadium. I got to go see the game. Plus, the Nets were in town. So, I'm super excited to go see my man, Kyrie, who stood on his own two feet, still got his way. I appreciate it. Kevin Durant was there.
And granted, I'm going to really quick interject. If you stand your 2 feet about a virus, and then people take vaccinations, and then eventually herd immunity and things like that start to take effect, then, like, I guess.
I don't think we ever reached herd immunity, but that's a separate thing.
But, like, we haven't reached it, but just, like, people are taking the vaccinations, and you know, people are doing the – enough people are doing the right things, right? The correct thing. Mm-hmm. People will call – but, like, people on the other side will call him brave, but I just think he's just hard-headed. But continue.
Okay. I'm not going with brave. Nor hard-headed. I am going with entertainment, and we should probably not pay attention to the person who just is good at basketball. Like, I'm pretty sure he's a great person in other aspects, but public health and sports probably don't mix that well. Anyway, this Miami Heat game was really bad from, like, the jump. And, like, it was a weird level of bad for both teams. Like, Miami just couldn't get their offense together. They couldn't stop KD. Shoot, they couldn't stop Drummond, which is a weird sentence to say. But the worst experience of it all, I'm going to preface it by saying this, I'm poor, right? So I got the nosebleed seats, you know? So we see everything. We watch the X's and O's. Me and my girlfriend, we're watching everything. We basketball nerds, so we like to see everybody move around and whatnot. I've never been more uncomfortable at an arena in my entire life. And I was a season ticket holder for Mavs. So maybe I'm just a little bit spoiled by, like, Dallas. Mark Cuban. Look, he know how to show a brother a good time. That's what they do. They schmooze you. And I was in the nosebleeds there too, but I had leg room. I might not be the tallest person in the world. I'm a solid 5'10", 5'11", but I got a lot of leg. I need to stretch my shit out. And you can't do that anywhere but courtside in Miami. And you're not getting a lot courtside space in Miami. Like, speaking of the Palace, if you go back and watch shots of the Magic Johnson show, and you see how, like, crowded everything is, that's what it feels like in the Miami Heat Stadium. They've won too many titles for it to be like that still. Like, what is the hold up? Where they look, you can't add more space to the arena, but you gotta do something. Like,
I should stop blaming Miami fans for being the worst fans in basketball. And I should be like, okay, I get why you're so late to every single game, because you want to spend less time in those seats. Because okay. I remember in the finals and all kind of stuff, and, like, they were really good. That, like, everybody wore the all white shirts and all kind of stuff. But, like, they would show up in, like, second quarter. Like, it was empty for a long time, even when they were, like, winning. And I was like, oh, you guys are the worst. Like, because I'm used to OKC, right? OKC, they're there tip off, and they're there till the very, 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 very end. I'm used to that kind of stuff, right? I'm just seeing, like good, true fandom. But Miami, I'm like, oh, y'all bougie. You know what I mean? So should I stop blaming them and just blame the city?
So I think you should blame both of them, in all honesty. Nobody does not deserve blame in this situation. But they do have a perfect excuse. They did, you know, like, during the game, they'll have, like, small breaks where they, like, do some fan activity stuff. So they gave a quiz for a person to get, like, $100 per person to get correct that's played for the Heat. You know, Miami Heat been around, what, 70s, 80s, probably a little bit farther than that.
Yeah.
I want you to try, like, real hard. Past 2000... Let's say 2000. Name a prominent Miami Heat player.
Past who?
past 2000.
Like before. Wait,
before. You, before 2000. Oh,
before. Before.
Alonzo Mourning?
Keep going.
What's Buddy's name?
Jay Will?
Before 2000.
Alonzo Mourning?
Gary Payton? Wait, no, that was after 2000.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Are they an expansion team?
I believe they are an expansion team. So they put 30 seconds on the clock for Buddy, right? They show Jay Will and he like, I'm not sure. And I'm like, come on, dog, white chocolate. That's easy. They show, I think they show Eddie Jones like third. And when I tell you, the entire crowd is silent. Like nobody knows the answer. Like the only reason why I remember that is Eddie Jones is because I looked at like a picture of Kobe sitting next to Eddie Jones when he was playing for the Lakers. I was like, oh, that's who that is. They do not have like any history up until like Dwayne Wade gets there. So like, I am not upset that they don't have a good stadium because their success is new and it's also like rented, if that makes sense.
Like the city itself or the Dwayne Wade? Or like, I'm not Dwayne Wade, but like the Heat.
The Heat.
Yeah, like their team success. Think of every time that they have like won a championship. They rented the years of Shaq. They just so happened had to have young Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade gets hurt, and there's like almost like 5 years where Miami is just eh. And in that 5 year span, two of them are just like awful, like top of the lottery awful.
Mm-hmm.
So their success is so new where I cannot blame them for having an awful fan experience at their arena.
I guess you can give them an excuse like that, but like y'all won championships in that time. So listen, this is coming from, I live in a city, Kansas City, that has the Royals baseball team, and that has the Kansas City Chiefs football team. The Royals in my lifetime have won two championships, one in 2016 and one in 1985. The Chiefs have won two Super Bowls, one in 2020, and then one 50 years earlier. You guys won two in a five-year time span. Be happy.
Look, 3 and 15.
Be happy. But the thing is, Miami wants to be New York.
Ding, ding, ding. That's the second.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to be New York.
But Miami wants to, but like, I mean, in terms of just like city notoriety. They want to be,
okay.
They want to be LA. They want to be big time. And they don't got that. Because a lot of those things is, a lot of those cities, people live. And a lot of, in Miami, people vacation. So it's not the same. It's not the same, but they want to be like those other places. And their fan base is fickle because they're fickle people down there.
I think it's a lot of bandwagon fans or people who got in right as, you know, the whole Big Three thing occurred. Right?
I know people got in for that, but like they won a championship in 06, right? It's 06, right? I mentioned in 06, but Shaq and Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. They did Wade for a long time. Dwayne Wade was nice out there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But then they got bandwagon fans. But like every team has bandwagon fans if they're good, right?
Okay.
There's a lot of bandwagon New England fans, a lot of bandwagon Lakers fans, and people follow LeBron. Like there's not even just team bandwagon people. There are people who bandwagon for like a player, right?
Right.
But you still usually have a core fan base that is like energetic about something. And Miami, you look at all their sports. Heat, Dolphins, Marlins. They're not good. They're not a good fan base for none of them.
I think they also got a soccer team recently, but I couldn't tell you anything about that.
But soccer might be different because of the Latino fan base. Soccer might be different because of the Latino fan base they have in like the area of Southern Florida, excuse me. But the other ones, every single fan base they have, do you know one? You guys, this might be different because I don't know one Dolphin fan. You guys in school.
Actually, I do know one. I do know one.
Yeah.
But I was like, you in school for what? I don't know one.
We know, out of all the people I know in Florida, I know, and this is probably cheating a little bit because of Brady, I know more Buccaneers fans than I know Miami Dolphins fans. I know literally.
Dog.
I know two Miami Dolphins fans.
I know more in Florida. I know more fans of outside Miami sports than Miami sports, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't matter if it's Orlando. Doesn't matter if it's Jacksonville. Doesn't matter where all these things are. I know fans of those places. Miami's fan base for all the sports, but more specifically for basketball, are the worst. But I do think it goes back to the fact that that's a traveling city. It's not a destination city.
And that brings me to example number two. It is Miami, as much as we talk about their basketball culture and they might have it as a team, that entire area, that is not the culture. When you go to New York, it is on most people's list to go to the Garden. If you go to LA, one part about going to LA is the Lakers. When you go to Miami, the Heat are like number 32 on your list of things you're trying to do while you in Miami.
Listen, when your city is essentially, or when the popularity of your city is based off cocaine money, sports are the last things to be attracted, right? Attractive.
Unless your players are on cocaine.
Because
I'm pretty sure plenty of Lakers have done cocaine at some point.
But Miami is notably a drug, like, financed place. That's like a notable thing about that city. And when that happens, a city tends to lean on things that are, you know, beneficial to drug intake, partying and that kind of stuff, right? Clubs and going out and all kind of that's what Miami is. Because what is some of the most regulated things in the United States? Sports, right? The further back you go, okay, nowadays people getting tested and, you know, there's commissions and all kind of stuff. They don't get into that stuff. So the city doesn't care about the Heat. The city cares about what brings in money to the city. And that is what? The party scene. So if you want to go to party in Miami, I've never been, but I know plenty of people who have. You're going to have a great time because, as Alan said, that isn't the 32nd reason you're going to Miami. That's reason 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You know what I mean? So I just hate Miami, I think. I never thought about it. But I think I have too many opinions about Miami.
But you can tell that's a super Midwest ass boy. Like, it's, you're a very Midwest old person. Like, Miami
Why you say Midwest? Why you say Midwest?
Look, you already talked about how you're not feeling the big cities.
I hate people though.
I know you hate people. You also love Nashville.
No, I don't.
Bruh. You talk heavily about Nashville, my boy.
I went to school there. To play a sport.
I guess the better question is, where do you like?
My favorite... Okay, so am I visiting or living?
Both. Give me one.
My favorite city to visit is Chicago. Chicago is my favorite city to visit. Every time I go to Chicago, I have great fun. Second favorite city to visit, LA.
Midwest?
I love LA. Like, LA is great. Santa Monica area specifically.
Oh, you can stop giving me. I want another live. One a piece. That's all we need.
Live, that's different. Because live, I like medium-sized cities. So, and every state has that. Not every state. Some states don't even have that. But a good amount of states, enough states, have medium-sized cities. So, like, Kansas City be one. I mean, the further down the south you get, the more racist they get. So, it's like, I want to get away from that. But, like...
Until you hit Florida, and then, like, it's but just like, a very different like, setup.
I can also, see you get multicultural racism in Florida. It's different. Like, you just not get white people racism. You get racism from everybody.
So, like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to use a lot of Midwest states.
No, I won't.
I'm lying. So, Kansas City, a medium-sized one. Quahog in Rhode Island.
All right, Family Guy.
It's a real place.
Wait, it's an actual place?
Scranton. Pennsylvania. I just hate traffic. And even Nashville has...
Then why don't you move to New York?
Say again?
Move to New York. Take the public, like, take the public transit.
I hate people. Also, I'm a person who holds door for people. Say something back to me. New York might got too many people for me. I'm not gonna lie to you. But, like, if I lived anywhere, I'll live in the Midwest. But I'd live in the South. No, yeah, I lived in the South, and I would live in the West Coast before I lived in the East Coast. 100%. Once, I've lived in the South already. It's not a big deal to me. The West Coast, it's spread out enough that I'd mess with it. And the weather. So, this isn't about me. It's about the Miami fans. I don't know how you did it, Alan. You did it on my trick. It's about Miami fans. And y'all are the worst fans in sports. Period. Y'all don't deserve no teams.
Old man yells at clouds.
Very old man.
No, man, how old are you?
Huh? Oh, 27.
Okay. When's your birthday?
November 5th.
Okay. So for about a couple months, we're the exact same age. So I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear nothing. Crazy. I didn't even know that. I had an inclination. Man,
I'm hurt. Well, hey, podcast, y'all old. Yeah, look, you just old and grumpy.
I am tired. I'll go up front. But that says I'm a working man. But when I get my Oscar, but one year when I get my Oscar and I smack the host, you're gonna remember this podcast right here. I call it right now.
Make sure you get him with a backhand.
It's gonna be Alan hosting it for the ESPYs.
Shit. Tell you, look, you ain't getting that off of me, Playboy. I don't got no dignity like that. That's the end of the episode, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. We were this close to getting out of here without any reference to it. And they ruined it. Because we talked about it before we started recording.
You did not tell me. Listen, you did not tell me that was a goal.
I didn't have to tell you. We already talked about
it. I thought both of y'all were tired.
At the end of it. Let's get out of here.
I'm just trying to be culturally relevant. For the people. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar style.
Will Smith did have like 50 in that one basketball game. He is part of the culture here.
You mean the one where Carlton had the last shot? Right. The classic.
That's besides the point.
Okay, come on. Let's
get out of here. I have your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr. And in front of me are my two good friends, Calvin McGowan and Philip Dixon. They can go ahead and sign us out.
Once again, you know, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank y'all for sticking with us to the end. You can listen to us wherever you listen to your podcast. If you're joining us on YouTube, like, share, subscribe, leave something in the comments. Enjoy the rest of your week.
My name is Philip Dixon, a.k.a. The Bookman. Thank you.
Dry toast.